Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hi and good day. This is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, continuing our series on prayer. And today we'll be looking at some teaching on prayer from the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 5 verses 14 and 15 and in the book of John chapter 15 verses 1 to 7. Let's pray. Father in heaven, anoint our words today. Let your blessing rest on this broadcast and may your word bring light to our souls. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's start in 1 John, towards the back of your Bible, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked of him. And now we'll go across to John 15, which I've bookmarked here, John chapter 15. Find it in your Bibles, John 15. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. So here are the conditions of powerful answered prayer. It says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you if you're abiding in Jesus, if you're abiding in his word and his word dwells in you. And it says, this is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. And that's 1 John. So the Apostle John really believes in the power of prayer, that you can ask anything from God as long as you're in Christ. Not for worldly things. You can't ask to be a Christian burglar. You can't ask to be some sort of wicked person. You can only ask for the things of righteousness and truth that belong to Christ and belong to God. So you're wanting to do your ministry, you're wanting to bless your family or this or the other, and you know that you need God's help. So the first question must be, are you in Christ? And the second question must be, are you in the will of God? Are you abiding in Christ or are you tearing off at your own tangent to do your own thing? So if you're in an inappropriate relationship, if you're having sex before marriage, or you're committing adultery, or you're off in fornication, then you're not abiding in Christ. You're abiding in your own pleasure, and God's not going to answer your prayer. So you need to get out of that inappropriate relationship and into the place of Christian glory, and you need to put aside all those things that are not of Christ. You can't abide in the world, you can't abide in sin, you can't abide in witchcraft and the devil and get your prayers answered. You have to be in Christ, in that place where Christ is, in the will of God. You're attached to God. You're one spirit with God. It says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says he who is in Christ is one spirit with God. So God's spirit and your spirit are joined together. But you pull away the connection, you tear off after your own sinful, lustful, stupid ways of doing things. And that takes you into a place where your prayer isn't answered because you're doing things for yourself. You're doing things for lust. You're doing things out of witchcraft or the occult. And now you're not doing things that where you're connected to God. They're not coming out of your relationship with Jesus Christ. They're coming out of your own silly nonsense. So if you're running around with your own ambitions, your own dreams, your own silly nonsense, your own human desires, you're not going to get much from God because you want to treat God like a servant. God isn't servant. God isn't your vending machine. You put a prayer in and you get an answer out. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. is the creator of the entire universe, and he's appointed Jesus Christ to inherit it. And you are in Christ and you get some of that inheritance. So God is the creator God, and you're to fear him, to love him, and to obey him. And if you let God's words of the Bible dwell in you, and you obey those words and you're committed to the will of God, you will find that the fervent prayer of a righteous man is very powerful. You'll find that you're able to pray because you're in the will of God, you're doing his will, and things roll out and happen much better for you because you're working in the power and the authority of God. When you're in Christ, when you're abiding in the will of God, you're then seated in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, because you're in Christ, you're in the heavenly realms with him, you're a citizen of heaven, and you can speak from the throne. You can speak to the throne, and you can speak from the throne. You can come to God for grace and help in time of need, because you're there, you're in the place of obedience, you're the place of abiding, you're resting in God, you're doing what God wants and not what yourself wants, and so you're moving ahead in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God speaks to your spirit the truth that teaches you how to pray. So the most important thing before you pray is that you're in the will of God, that you're righteous, that you're not cheating people, you're not lying to people, you're not deceiving people, you're not pursuing your own selfish ambitions, you're not unkind, and you're not cruel. So one of the most important things before you pray is to have your relationships right. We all know the story in the Sermon on the Mount where someone's going to present an altar, present an offering on an altar to the Lord, and Jesus says, go back and reconcile with your neighbor before you come to God. So you've got to have your relationships right. You can't live in bitterness. You can't live in hatred and in witchcraft and in spell casting and all that kind of juju nonsense and expect to be answered by God. You have to fix your relationships. You have to treat one another well. One of the principles of the Bible is that God treats us as we treat others. God shows mercy to those that are merciful. He is close to the humble. He is very kind to those that are kind to others. But God is very harsh towards the cruel and the proud. So if we treat others well, God will treat us well, and he'll rescue us in the day of trouble. So it says, he who lends to the poor, that the Lord's going to rescue him in the day of trouble. If you're kind, if you're merciful, if you're gracious, then God's going to be hearing your prayers with an open heart and an open ear. Also, if you're repentant and humble. We know the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And the Pharisee prays his great proud prayer towards God, and God doesn't hear him. And the tax collector, the sinner, beats his breast and says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he is heard, because he's casting himself on God and he's doing so humbly and powerfully. So you need to repent. You need to be humble before God. You need to be walking in the will of God if you're going to have a good prayer life, and that prayer life's going to start to move things in heaven and earth. So you have to be in Christ. You have to be in the will of God. You need to be reading your Bible. You need to be praying. You need to be going to church. You need to be going to your Bible study. God has to be the most important thing in your life, and you're living inside of God. You don't want to be living inside of the world or wickedness or crime or some kind of tribalistic fury. Instead, you want to be living in Christ, and Christ needs to be your world, your thoughts, and your actions. So when you're in Christ, as you go to that place of holiness, as you bury yourself into God and pray to him from a whole heart, just like the widows did in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, just as the people who needed God, just as like Hannah who pours herself out before the Lord, as you're in God, God's going to hear your prayers, and you're going to be asked whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Then we go over to 1 John. And in 1 John, it tells us, and this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So God listens to you. He's constantly attuning his ear to your cry. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows everything that you're going through. And as you cry out to God, he's going to listen to you, and he's going to hear what you say because it's according to his will. And like I said earlier, you can't ask something that's against his will. You can't ask to be a Christian burglar. You can't ask to be the best criminal in the city. You've got to ask things that are according to the will of God, things that are good for you and for your family and for your life. So ask God the things that are according to his will, and do so with a heart of faith. Believe that he actually cares for you, that he actually loves you. It's verse 15, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask,
We know that we have the requests which we have asked of him. So when we come to God, we can know that that prayer is answered. Sometimes it might take you a few days or a week before you reach that certainty, and that's called praying it through. So if you've got a problem that's on your heart or your mind and you pray it through and you know, okay, God's answered that, that's dealt with, that will come true, and God will reveal that to you and God will strengthen you in that thing. So you've got to pray it through till you get that understanding that God's heard your prayer, and you'll know it. You'll know it in your heart. You'll know it in your mind. Then you will know that you can have the things that God has prepared for those who love him, because God has all these good things prepared for you. And the devil sometimes tries to snatch them away, but they're for you. And God wants them to reach you, and you've got to pray for them because you do not have because you do not ask. And so you've got to ask God for the various needs. And Jesus makes that very plain in the Lord's Prayer when he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." So the daily bread you think would be automatic, but Jesus says to pray for your daily bread. Pray for the things that you need. Give us this day our daily bread, because it's not guaranteed in this great uncertain world that we live in. So we need to cast ourselves on God for all the things that we see there in the Lord's Prayer, including daily provision, including the ability to go ahead in life. What does it mean to be a person whose life is characterized by answered prayer? You'll be the person that people come to you and they'll say, "Oh, pray for me, Pastor." People don't believe in their own prayers. They want the pastor to pray for them or someone else to pray for them. And if you're someone that constantly gets answered prayer because you know how to pray, you'll be famous in your church, in your village, and in your city. People will come to you and say, "Pray for me. I know your prayers get answered and mine don't." You see, a lot of people have stopped spiritually. A lot of people have stopped in their obedience at some point that they just can't get past. They're stopped in bitterness, they're stopped in unbelief, they're stopped in materialism, they're stopped in idolatry, and they can't grow any further and their prayers are futile. They pray a little bit and it doesn't go anywhere because they're refusing to release the blockages that are in their life. And you'll be their lifeline to God because you'll know how to pray and you'll have a pure heart and a pure mind. And you'll be a source of life to your village. And when you come to people that are all blocked up inside, you've got to help them get past the blockages that is in their mind or their heart. They might be a person of little faith. And you said, "Oh, ye of little faith, stop worrying and trust the Lord." And you encourage them to trust the Lord. You encourage them to believe. You encourage them to do their own praying. And you teach them how to pray so that they can reach out and pray to other people. So part of your job as someone listening to this broadcast is to be a person whose prayers are answered, so that then you can teach other people to have their prayers answered as well. And the two secrets to prayer, the prayers that we're seeing here, are first of all, abide in Christ, leave the Christian lifestyle, don't get out of sorts with God, stay righteous. And the second one, as we've seen, is to know that God hears you in your heart and in your mind, so that it's very clear to God and to others that your prayers are being answered and you have the things that you've desired of him, because God has placed them in your life because you prayed powerfully. So this begs a few questions. It says, "Look at this, Pastor John, you say this happened, but I prayed for this, I prayed for that, and it didn't happen. How can you promise me these things? It hurts my heart because I prayed for this child and the child died, or you prayed for some financial miracle and the financial miracle didn't happen." You try and, but you can't contradict the Word of God, and the Word of God says that these things happen for those who believe. What we need to do is we need to place our life before God, and we need to say to God, "God, I don't have much faith. God, I find it hard to believe these things in this fallen world. These things just don't seem to happen. They don't seem to come true. At least they don't come true for me." We see famous people walking around and their prayers are answered all the time. The great pastors, the great preachers, the great apostles and prophets of the faith, the people that they write biographies about, they're getting all their prayers answered, but this person and that person don't seem to get their prayers answered. And you've got to be a person of spiritual energy. You've got to be like Elijah, who is a person of spiritual energy. And we talked about him in the last broadcast, who is a man with a nature like ours, but he was intense. He was focused and he prayed and the rain was withheld. He prayed again and it came. So Elijah was a person of phenomenal faith and spiritual intensity. You're not going to get anywhere in your prayers until you learn to focus with spiritual intensity and cry out to God and to pray and to really connect spirit to spirit with the Lord. If you're talking just pretty little prayers off to the side there, and you haven't got any emphasis behind it, any faith, any energy, those prayers tend to fall aside. Elijah was a righteous man, but he prayed fervently before the Lord. And you need to learn to pray fervently and in faith. Now, I'm not saying that if your prayer is not answered, that you failed, that you're a terrible failure as a Christian. Sometimes God does say no to our prayers because he's got greater and better plans for us. But a lot of the time, our prayers fall short because we're not abiding in Christ, we're not praying in the will of God, we're not praying with faith, and we're not praying with fervency. So God wants you to have a life of where your prayers are constantly answered, where you can walk out and you can pray for a little thing like a parking space or a big thing like someone to be healed. And you will know in your heart and your mind, you'll know in your spirit as you learn to pray, you'll know when that prayer is being answered and you can sit back and relax. You'll know when the miracle's going to happen, and you'll see things happen in your life that no one's ever seen before. So God's got a great plan for your prayer life, and that prayer life is something that you have to cultivate. So how do you cultivate that prayer life so that you get your prayers answered on a daily basis, not just now and then, not just a prayer here and there that you can remember? Firstly, you need to set aside time to pray. You have to set aside time in the morning and the evening, and you should keep a prayer list of some sort, a list of items you're praying, and you bring them before the Lord, and you put scripture in the prayer so it's answered. So if you're praying for someone to be healed, you might use Isaiah 53, by your stripes he is healed. You claim the stripes of Jesus to get that person healed. Also, you might find scriptures about anxiety, and you might say, Lord, I cast all my anxieties on you. I roll all my cares upon you because I know you care for me. And so you use the scriptures as part of abiding in Christ, praying for God's will. You use those scriptures as leverage points to pray before heaven. Remember, in part, prayer is a legal process. You're kind of arguing with the devil about whether this is going to happen or not. And as the more you claim scripture, the more you can push the devil aside and but of course your prayers are going to God, but you want the authority of the Word of God to help your prayers and to give them a strength that they otherwise wouldn't have. Otherwise, we're just praying out of our own imagination, we're praying out of our own worries, we're praying out of our own anxiety. A lot of people, when they're coming to God, they're just praying out of their worries and their anxieties and their stress, and they're bringing it all to God, and it's like it's fretting before the Lord. There's not a lot of faith involved. It's please, Lord, this, and please, Lord, that, and please, Lord, the other, and I don't know this, I don't know that, and I'm so confused. Yes, of course, pour out your heart before God. But as you're pouring out your heart before God, keep going deeper and deeper and deeper into God until you're abiding in Christ, till you're in the still place where you're before God and you're listening to the voice of Jesus and you're listening to Scripture and you're in that place where you're abiding in Christ. You're not dashing off to fretfulness or worry or anxiety. And as you get deeper and deeper and deeper into Christ, then your prayer life will be a lot stronger. And one of the ways to do that is to speak in tongues. I speak in tongues. I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And sometimes speaking in tongues takes me to very good places in the Lord and helps me to pray more powerfully and gets my spirit in contact with God's spirit so that utter things that are too deep for words, things that go to heaven, and you need to be able to speak in tongues to get those prayers up and out of your mind, out of your heart, out of the anxiety zone, into the faith zone, into the spirit zone, so you're speaking out things that are going to happen, things that are going to take place in the spiritual realm. Just as Daniel was praying for Israel and an angel was sent to assist him, it didn't arrive, I think, for 10 days. And he had to wrestle and wrestle and wrestle. It might have been 21 days, I can't remember. But he was wrestling against the devil because of his intensity, his focus, his prayer and his fasting. It came to pass. So we've got to be able to pray with a certain intensity based on the word of God, based on the power of God. And so set aside time, set aside the place to pray to God, and praying in the Spirit starts opening up the spiritual realms around us and in us so our prayers go more easily to the throne of God. And we need to be a person who stays in the Spirit. Abiding in Christ is somewhat the same as having our mind focused on things above, having our minds focused on the Spirit. You don't want your mind focused on your anxieties, your resentments, your hatred, and your stress. That's called having your mind focused on the flesh. You don't want your mind focused on things below, but on things above, and you have to force that to happen. And one way to get that to happen is to pray prayers of gratitude. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Get the Christian music out and get your mind set on things above, set on the things of the Spirit. Be grateful to God for what you've got until you get the answer to your prayer. So if you've got a beaten up old car, just say, Lord, I thank you for my beaten up old car. I'm praying that I get a better car, but I thank you for this car I've got. If you've got a bicycle, thank the Lord for the bicycle till you get a car. And if you don't have a bicycle and just got a pair of old shoes, thank God for the old shoes till you get better shoes, till you get a bicycle, till you get a car. Whatever you want, you just thank God for where you are and be content and cast your problems upon God. Thank God for the job you've got now until you get a job in the future, a better job, a greater job, because God wants to lift you up. But he's not going to lift you up if you're in the place of complaining, grumbling, resentment, and hatred. You need to be thanking God for who you are right now and what you are right now. If you're single and you're needing a husband or a wife, say, I thank you, Lord, that I'm single now, but I really want a husband or a wife, and I want someone who's godly, I want someone who's this or that. But Lord, I thank you for where I am now, and I'm going to serve you where I am now, and I thank you for what I'm doing in life, and I praise you and I thank you. And that way you're starting to abide in Christ. You're starting to abide in the will of God, because thankfulness is God's will for you in Christ Jesus at all times. So give God thanks for where you're at the moment, no matter where that is, even if you're in jail. So thank you, Lord, I'm in jail. At least I'm getting some meals. You just say that and praise the Lord, and then praise the Lord to lift you out of that situation. Paul and Silas praised the Lord for that they were able to suffer for him in Philippi. And God sent a earthquake and he shook that jail. So if you want to abide in Christ, if you want your prayers answered, learn to be a person of praise and thankfulness and gratitude. And the attitude of gratitude will be heard in heaven and God will start to answer your prayers. So if you've got a job, thank God for the job you've got now. If you've got a ministry, thank God for the ministry you've got now and say, Lord, lift me up. Give me a bigger ministry, a better ministry, a more precise ministry, a ministry that's going to glorify you even more than the ministry I've got now. But I thank you for what I've got. And you thank God for the church you've got or the mission agency you've got or the evangelism you've got. Thank him for that now and ask him for the increase. So don't be discontent. Don't be grumpy. Don't be complaining. Stay in Christ. Stay in the will of God. Stay with a sweet spirit. You can't have prayer answered if you've got an ugly spirit, a vicious spirit, an angry and resentful spirit, a spirit that refuses to believe because it's so disappointed by life. The devil wants to feed your heart with disappointment, with ashes, with grumbling, with despair, with feelings of hopelessness, and that's not a place you can pray out of. You've got to be abiding in Jesus. You've got to be full of love, joy, peace, and patience, and you can choose to do that. You can choose to be patient with your current situation. You can choose to be kind to others. You can choose to be joyful and thankful. You can choose a place where you're in the Spirit of God and not in the flesh and not in anxiety. And when you get into that spot, when you go before the Lord and say, Lord, my attitude's been really bad today, but I'm going to pray and I want a positive attitude so I can pray to you, God will give you that positive attitude so you're full of prayer and thanksgiving, bringing all your supplications to God with praise and thanksgiving, and the peace of God will surround your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. So the basis of prayer, the thing that's going to launch you off into the life of prayer, of course, first of all, you've got to be abiding in Christ Jesus. You've got to be glued into the vine. The life of Christ has to be in you, not the life of the world, not the life of the devil, not the life of your own self, or your own flesh. The life of Christ has to be flowing into you, and you have to have that love, joy, and peace. And when you're abiding in Christ, you can ask whatever you wish, and it's going to be done for you because you're living the Christian life. You're living the Holy Ghost life. You're living the anointed life. First of all, the life of God has to be in you. You have to be connected to the vine. Secondly, you have to be praying for things that are in the will of God, things that are honest and righteous and true. Thirdly, you have to be praying in faith. You have to believe that the prayer is going to be answered and that God is hearing you, that God hasn't abandoned you, that his ear is turned to you constantly and he is listening to your prayer. And you've got to speak that prayer out in great faith and great power. And as you do, as you ask God for these things, as you're bold to ask God for these things, as you're staying in the place of prayer and worship and exaltation, then your prayer life will start to change. It will take on a new color. It will take on a new joy because you're praying out of that place where you're connected to God, and you're praying out of the will of God. You're praying out of that secret place in the Almighty. And as you abide in the secret place in the Almighty, your prayer life will suddenly become a lot more successful than it was before. And you'll start praying for things and you'll start seeing them answered. And you'll say, wow, this really is true. We can pray for things and we can have them answered time and time and time again. And so don't remain in that place of bitterness and discouragement. Don't remain in that place of unbelief towards the Lord. Don't pray out of panic or fretting. If you're in a stage of panic or fretting, say, Lord, give me the peace so I can pray. Cast your burdens on the Lord and get into that place where you're really connected to God again. And you're not just thinking about the disaster, the worry, the things that's preoccupying you at the moment. Instead of thinking about the disaster, cast your mind onto the Lord. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on the Spirit. And as you do that, as you're abiding in Christ, then you'll be in that space, in that place where the Lord can lift you up out of the disastrous situation that you're in. God doesn't mind if you got yourself into trouble. God's a good father. He's Abba Father. He knows his kids get themselves into scrapes occasionally, and he comes and he bails them out. If you've got a son or a daughter, and your son or your daughter is in an accident, even if the accident's their own fault, you're there, you're with the ambulance, you take your kid to hospital, you pay the hospital bills, you get them out of it, you pay any fines. Why? Because you're a good parent. If you can do that, then God can do that. God's going to treat you like the prodigal son. God's going to treat you well. He's going to heal you. He's going to bless you. He's going to lift you up because he's a loving Abba Father. You need to rely on that and not listen to the devil. God doesn't want to beat you up. He wants to answer all your prayers. And from both of these passages here, we see that God wants to give you everything you ask for. He put it in the Bible so you can learn that. He gave it to his apostle John so you can learn that. But in order for those prayers to come true, you have to be in the right spiritual place. You can't be in a place of bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, or sin. So that's what it means to abide in Christ. So go back over the passages today, 1 John 5:14 and 15, and John 15:1 to 7. Read them over and over again and let them sink down into you, and then start praying in the Spirit. Start praying with an attitude of gratitude to the Lord, and your prayers will be answered. This is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, signing off, and God bless you all.
Hi. That was an episode of Insights for Eternity, and I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you, and be blessed in the Lord this week.